He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the TGIF edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we've got an update. I'm telling you what, he better deliver next week with that rate cut, or there's going there's going to be a hissy fit on Wall Street. The Dow is up 139. Now it's up 266. Look at that, 48,117. The NASDAQ is up 137 to 23,641. The S&P 500 is up 0.5% right now, up 34 points to 6891. The Russell 2000, I show it down a little bit. I don't know if that's right or not. Sometimes that's a lagging. It's down 0.25%. And the bond market is pretty steady, 4.10% right now. Gold is up about 0.5%. No, now it's up 70 basis points. Boy, has it been a steady performer here in 2025. Old Faithful is gold. And not Old Faithful is Old Doubtful. Bitcoin is down 1171. I think there's a little bit of a confidence crisis there.
Old Doubtful is a good name.
Old Doubtful, 91164. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management RIA, registered investment advisory, and financial planning firm with clients all across the country, even up to the North Pole. I got to check. Right. He's still with it. I haven't heard from him for a while. He's busy in December, I know. But
we still got North Pole Alaska on the
one of our clients.
The mailing list.
Yeah. Yes, and then clear down to the tip of Florida and everything in between. We have a lot of fun. We've got the tour bus. It's being little maintenance being done on it. We're repainting it. It was Sugar Magnolia last year. I don't know what it'll be, especially with that trip to San Francisco. Like people follow the dead. We have Gunderheads that follow us around, come to all the workshops, etc. We will be lining up, and we need to print some T-shirts. I think I'll do some T-shirts this year.
A little merch would be fun, right?
It would be. I still have Bob Dylan shirts, Neil Young T-shirts. I always bought a shirt when I went to a concert.
Oh, yeah.
They're all worn out now, and grease stains, fishing stains.
You need to look them up. They're worth some money now. I had
not with that shape. They're not. They got to be.
My father-in-law. My father-in-law gave us our old son an old concert T-shirt. The first thing he did was look it up online. It was like $1,000.
Really? Was it?
It was an old. It was an old Metallica T-shirt, but. Of course, you know, it's like, you know, my father-in-law's like, just wear it. That's what he said.
Yeah, just wear it. Yeah, like, I'd sell it myself and invest in Bitcoin.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyways, we have got a good start to the market here so far on this Friday. We've had a good week in the market, and we went from a narrative of worry about the AI stocks to no rate cut in December, and now it seems like the worry about the AI stocks has fizzled out for now. I'm sure it'll come back at some point in time. The market has absolutely counting on a rate cut in December and next week, next Wednesday. I'm not so sure. I'm 50-50. I think you can flip a coin because I think it's Powell's ego versus the jobs reports, which have been a little bit weak, and really a lack of inflation. You know, I would say the one inflationary item that we have out there are the tariffs, and that's probably keeping prices high, maybe. I think that's the biggest argument against the tariffs. But having said that, I think it's 50-50. And like I say, if the market does not get that that rate cut next week, I think you're going to see a big sell-off in the market. For that reason, we have three small hedges on the market. Small, very small hedges. Just tiny ones. And if that rate cut doesn't come through, I'm going to keep those hedges in place until then.
Yeah, and they're on the and they're on that far spectrum, right?
Yes,
I mean, you've got the small cap and ARC, you know,
and ARC, yeah. an inverse against ARC. And if he doesn't come through with the rate cut, if his ego gets the best of him, of course he's got to get convinced the whole committee. And a lot of those people on the committee are vying for the job, although it sounds like the guy's already been chosen, or gal. It sounds like it's going to be Kevin Hassett, and then it looks sounds like our friend from Charleston here, Treasury Secretary Bessent. Boy, Bessent, he took apart the guy that wrote 1929. What's his name?
Oh, Sorkin. Sorkin.
Yeah, Sorkin was interviewing Bessent, and Sorkin was quoting the New York Times. It's obvious that Bessent's not a fan of the New York Times. Oh, yeah. He let him have it. Sorkin did not know what to say when Bessent said that. Okay, forward PE of the S&P 500 right now. This is a very critical number for me. This is a critical mineral in the supply chain. 22.57. 22.57 with 23 being the top recently, so that doesn't give us a lot of room to move. We ended mixed yesterday, but I'll tell you what, as I went through a lot of charts, I really go through a lot of charts this time of year because you're starting to see some sector rotation, things like that. There's a lot of rotation into the small caps right now. I don't have much faith in the small caps myself.
Well, we've been waiting for that. I mean, it's that story that's been, you know, people have been waiting for
15 years.
Yeah.
I've heard, oh, there's rotation into the small cap. And the other area I'm seeing some rotation in, and I don't know if I have a lot of faith there either, is the oil stocks, especially the oil and gas equipment stocks. We're in Halliburton and Baker Hughes would be a couple of, faces that you want to watch. But some of the downstream stocks are doing well in the oil patch. The oil patch has had many, many, many false starts over the last two or three years. I may nibble at a few, but right now, I don't have a lot of faith in that sector. Okay, now, so we finished kind of mixed yesterday. The big news this morning is, look, I'm a guy who grew up my first 8 years of my life in Burbank, and we used to drive by all the big studios all the time, Warner Brothers, Disney, whatever,
yeah,
Universal.
Yeah, The Price is Right was in that.
And now Burbank, right? Johnny Carson broadcasts from beautiful downtown Burbank every night. Now you've got Netflix totally upending that entire industry, which is a failing industry, by the way. Netflix is buying Warner Brothers Discovery, which Warner Brothers bought out the Discovery Channel many years ago. But Warner Brothers, you know, we grew up with Bugs Bunny and all the rest over at Warner Brothers, and now they're done, and Netflix acquires them. Let's see how Netflix stock is doing today. I bet Warner Brothers is doing better than Netflix. But Netflix, I mean, they came along with an idea of mailing the DVDs or the CDs to you.
DVDs.
And Netflix is down. Netflix is going to be a candidate for my relative value fund. It's down. Netflix from its high is down about 25%, the high that it set in June. But it just becomes bigger and bigger, bigger. And I would argue that it should replace Disney in the Dow, although that won't happen. Disney has returned zero to investors over the last 10 years. For that reason alone, I'd kick it out of the Dow. And Netflix has probably returned somewhere in the 18 to 20% area. And Netflix is now four times the size, or two times. We'll call it two times bigger than Disney. And now they've got a studio, Warner Brothers, and I say put Netflix in the Dow and kick Disney out. Kick their their Mickey Mouse behind. It's a Mickey Mouse operation. No returns for investors for 10 years. I don't like that. And it's not helping the Dow, obviously. Okay, let's do other news here. There's quite a bit, actually. I thought it would be kind of a quiet day in the market. No, no such thing. Sean Duffy says the new fuel economy rules, which they really, you know, they're not going to go to the draconian numbers that would require us all to be in an electric vehicle by 2030. He says it could bring back the 1970s station wagon.
There we go.
The station wagon. And you can drive it to the drive-in theater and watch Netflix movies. We'll be right back. City of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. They just released the core inflation, 2.8%, which is lower than expected. So you know what? He's going to have a hard time not cutting rates, Jerome. Our friend Jerome the Grinch, he's going to be wearing a red striped hat like that Dr. Seuss Grinch. 2.8% is really good. I mean, that's under 3.
Yeah, and 0.2 for the month of September. And so, I mean, from a print wise, nothing scary there. The jobs reports were a little mixed too. So, you know, to me, it's, should be all, you know, that we like you said, as long as he doesn't end up the Grinch, I mean, we got an 87% chance of a rate cut. Probably going to be a little bit higher after some of these, you know, numbers get work through these numbers, because I think they just came out, what, around
just now.
10 o'clock or so?
Yeah, just now. So, anyways, things looking good for next Wednesday, which, you know, would help the market end on a strong note. I didn't think that we would get one after the last meeting. But it's looking, I still say 50-50.
We've been all over the place. I mean, it was 60, a month ago it was 62%, and we're at 87 now. So.
Yeah, because of the weak jobs reports. Okay, yeah. Oil, like I say, I don't have a lot of faith in this move, but I'm watching it because there were some really good, the oil equipment stocks. There's an ETF, IEZ. And that's the oil equipment sector, and you can look at that thing. It's breaking out. I mean, it's been sideways for, maybe 27 years, not that long, but it's been sideways for maybe 27 months. The oil stocks have just not been a good place to have money invested in. But all of a sudden, they're showing signs of life, and it's mostly because of, you know, no progress being made with Putin. Over there in the war with Ukraine, and is a little bit on the bullish side for oil to raise those standards for mileage, because you're going to keep making some of the large SUVs, the vans that tend to use a little bit more gas. Trump also is clearing the way for these little mini cars that they have in Japan. I think they're called KEY cars. Huh. Get a chance. Look those up.
I'm going to look one up. Yeah,
they're kind of cute. I mean, I don't think they're approved for the freeway, but for around town, you know, they're probably in between a golf cart and
a key, and it's KEI.
Yeah, they're cute little buggers.
They look like a looks like a little race car.
Yeah, they're not bad, and they have little vans and stuff like that. They'd be great for a kid that's got to go to drive himself to high school. I wouldn't want to get rear-ended. I was thinking about my friend in high school. He drove his family station wagon, and we'd get it like on a Friday night. He'd drive us all over town in that thing. It was a beast.
Was it like the Griswold with the kind of the wood kind of grain on the
side?
Yeah,
it had some wood grain, and the back seat faced the other way.
And that
so
was an interesting.
You don't want to get rear-ended. because those guys don't have much protection.
And they always see it coming. You can see it coming.
Yeah,
too.
They always put me in that back seat. I don't know why. It's fun to watch where you've been instead of where you're going. Okay, would you want to? You're a Chevron employee, right? They're flying people from Caracas, Venezuela, to its oil production sites in Venezuela, despite a warning from the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration. Would you get on a little boat to drive out to one of those rigs that Chevron owns in the Caribbean? Hexeth might blow you out of the water, right?
Yeah, I need to be on a sizable boat. I had a buddy who's a captain of a charter boat. In the off season, they would basically run a supply ship out of southern Louisiana out to the rigs.
To the rigs.
He said it's a pretty interesting experience, but not one you want to go do off the coast of South America at the moment, I don't think.
No, nor would I want to be stuck on a rig, you know, out in the middle of ocean for a long time.
Good fishing, though, Bill. You can always drop a line at any point in time. They got some big amberjack that hang out around those.
Yes, the rigs attract tuna, too, in the Gulf.
You get some big group or two underneath the concrete, and so you got to reel them quick. Otherwise, they'll get back in their hole, and you'll
never
know.
They know how to wrap themselves around those pilings and break off. They do that here at my house
on purpose. Yeah,
China's Nvidia-like AI chip maker. Here we go.
I saw this story today. Pretty interesting.
Moore Threads. Technology. I don't know if that's after Moore's Law or whatever. This is they call it the Chinese Nvidia. Okay, so anyways, they went public on the Shanghai Star Market. They did their IPO. The stock was up 500% on the first day of trading. Called China's Nvidia, founded in 2020 by ex-Nvidia executive Zhuang Jinhong. Maybe he took some secrets with them. I don't know. In 2020, though, Nvidia didn't really have the chips back then. It's been more recently. But still, I mean, he might have known the direction they were going and whatnot. So anyways, Threads was also a gaming graphics company, and now they're going to take on Nvidia. And we know it's inevitable at some point in time. We just don't know how far behind they are, years behind Nvidia. But eventually, Nvidia is going to have competition.
And they're pushing it. I mean, they've got, you know, they call them, they kind of call them their little dragons. And so, you know, this is one of the first of I think four that are likely to become public here, go public here in the coming future. This was kind of one of their first ones that went IPO'd, and they've got a few other ones lined up. So they're you know, at worst, they're investing into these companies, and they're gonna, you know, they're gonna.
Well, and they got Huawei and Alibaba too, that are both working on the what do you call? What's their chips over? Nvidia.
You got DeepSeek, and then of course, you know, they're using those other chips, the Huawei chips. But it'll be interesting to see how well they pair them. You know, the thing is, they're just. Essentially mashing, you know, they may not be as powerful as Nvidia, but they'll mash a bunch of them together to make it as powerful, right?
Yes. It's like a little HO train set. If you got too many cars for one train to pull, you put in a second train, and they pulls them just
put
fine.
Another engine on there, right?
Yes. U.S. plans more stakes in critical minerals companies. And the reason I bring this up is, man, those stocks were on fire yesterday. As news keeps coming out of the White House of the Trump administration spending more than $1 billion over the past year to take stakes in critical minerals and mining companies. And we're coming up on a hard break here. But when we come back, I want to talk about the difference between giving a company government money, right, throwing money at it. Here's money. Versus investing in that company. There's a huge difference. I'll explain why, and I want to talk about some of these rare earth companies that are just on fire right now. We'll be right back.
Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much. Anyone play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Now, there's a big difference in throwing money, government money, at an industry, for instance. I mean, the CHIPS Act, some of it was low-interest loans, but some of it was the solar industry just got money handed to them, right? That's an expense, right? If you give them money, that goes against your debt in the U.S. government. If you invest in something, Barry, that's a balance sheet item, right? It's not an expense. It's listed then on your as an asset because you have a stake in the company, and it's not an expense. It doesn't raise your deficit. I got to believe that with all of the investment people in the Trump administration, like Besant and the guy from Cantor Fitzgerald, I can't think of his name right now, but you know, I think it's a much better idea to make an investment in these companies. You have a stake. It goes on your balance sheet as something you have equity in, and you're not just throwing money because it gets wasted. If you just throw money at a company, all kinds of funny stuff goes on. We saw that. I'm the guy that was on with Megyn Kelly exposing Solyndra many years ago with the money that was just thrown at them, and they were just throwing money at the green energy companies. I like, personally, I like this taking a piece, a stake. We want a stake, and we're going to hold you accountable. Now everybody's in the same boat, rowing the same direction. Everybody wants the company to be successful, and it's not just a government handout to go squander. But anyways, you've got them taking a stake in a lot of these critical rare earth mineral companies. And man, I'll tell you what, those stocks were absolutely on fire. But at, like we've said before, these are very, very volatile stocks.
And you've been seeing them put in a bottom, right?
I mean, yes, they put in a bottom. Yes, and they bounced yesterday hard off of that bottom. The Trump administration plans to take more equity positions, not throw money at, take equity. There's a huge, huge difference.
Well, and the difference is too. You want them to, you know, you're incented for the company
sure.
to succeed. By the way, instead of just throwing money at it, and you know, let's
nobody
see what
answers to it. Here's the money. Good luck with it. We're literally buying equity, getting equity in companies to give the backing of the U.S. because that's the only way we're going to catch up with China on these things. The Trump administration has spent more than $1 billion over the last year. And again, that doesn't go against your debt, your national deficit, because you're buying something. It goes on your balance sheet as an asset. It was like buying Alaska, right?
Yeah.
right. That was a pretty good investment, I would say.
Pretty good on that one, yeah.
But they've taken stakes in MP Materials, Lithium Americas, and other potentially relevant companies racked up strong gains on Thursday. And I'll tell you the other area that has seemingly put in the bottom, the small nukes, which are going to be a big, big deal. And there will be some winners emerge out of there. So stocks like USA Rare Earth, That one got a supply deal with Compass Diversified yesterday. That's USAR. It was up 24.6% yesterday. I have a little bit of a few shares in USA Rare Earth. Critical Minerals I have a little bit in. That's the Greenland Rare Earth stock. Oklo was up 15.6% yesterday. That's the small modular reactors. Westwater Resources was up 15.5% yesterday. United States Antimony. I'm going to pick up my little cube of antimony. Oh, that's cute. SB is the symbol, by the way. SB. U.S. Antimony, I do have a little bit of that. It was up 15%. Neo Development, NB, up 14. New Scale, up 4. This was all yesterday, okay? Wow. UUUU, up 8.1%. Nano Nuclear, up 7.9%. Cameco had a good day. Now, that is not a small-time company. That's the old Westinghouse. They own 49% of Westinghouse. It was up 5.2% yesterday. And even the underwater rare earth stock, Trilogy Metals, or no, TMC, the metals company, TMC, it was up sharply to yesterday. There's a renewed life in those stocks, which have a lot of promise, but they also have a lot of risk. And speaking of risk, Goldman Sachs, Carlyle Group, and StepStone, I know I knew one of the founders of StepStone in San Diego. They're a big-time private equity company in New York. And they're also bringing private equity to the small investors, which I'm not a fan of. But here they have offered accredited investors of the investment platform Willow Wealth. They're giving them access to private credit funds. Ugh. Mm-hmm. With minimum investments as low as $10,000, so you can
just
go,
stoking that demand, aren't they? Just hey, you know,
well,
whatever they can do to get people to keep buying it. It sounds like
I was them, I would want to offload my risk
because right.
They've had to buy that private credit. They're holding it now. They want to sell it through retail and earn a commission and management fees on that. I would think they'd want to offload that risk. With the deal, Willow users will be able to invest directly in the Carlyle Tactical Private Credit Fund. Now, this is a private fund. This is not publicly traded. You're going to have liquidity issues. And the Goldman Sachs Real Estate Diversified Income Fund and the StepStone Private Markets, all three funds collectively representing more than $11.8 billion in assets. And who are they using to sell this stuff? Registered investment advisors. I get two or three emails every day because I own a registered investment advisory firm, and they want me to sell
this
stuff.
You're on the distribution list for sure.
I'm part of the distribution. This is the hottest thing in the RAA space. There is now a $1.7 trillion private credit industry growing, pushing into the retail markets to meet investor demand. So investors apparently are demanding this stuff. No, I think it's the registered investment advisors that are demanding it because they can turn around and sell it, and they can get a piece of the action too. Anyways, now you got another one. Titan Financial provides a $2,000 minimum additional investment on the Carlyle Tactical Private Credit Fund. It says we're bringing private markets to the little guy. Okay, That little guy is in big trouble. Tesla rolls out low cost Model 3 variant in Europe. Well, you know what? They've got to because they're competing against China. And so they're bringing their lower price model. You know, Tesla stock's been behaving pretty well here recently. It's helping Kathy Woods. I mean, that's one of the good stocks that she owns in her portfolio.
I've been hearing more and more about, kind of the robots are coming.
And the Roadster. I want a Tesla Roadster. That's the one I'm interested in. That thing goes like, it'll get you to Myrtle Beach in 60 minutes, and no cop can keep up with it. That's going to be me. Sportsman Warehouse slides after warning of consumer spending slowdown. Now, my wife went out on Black Friday, which she hasn't done in many years. She went to our local mall here in Mount Pleasant. She said it was not any busier than a normal day. And, of course, it brings back the memories of the mall and the escalators and Santa Claus and getting your picture taken with them and the Orange Julius. And I miss those days. There's a lot of things I miss about the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, which I've been a witness to. Going back to the station wagons back in the 70s and the 60s and the Woodies. We had Woodies in California with wood on the side of them. Now we got little models of them to remember them by. But, you know, that's another thing we watched. Besides those initial jobless claims, is the consumer. I just think that Sportsman's Warehouse is being hurt by Amazon. And, you know, who goes to a Bass Pro Shop anymore when you can order? I get all my fishing stuff on Amazon, whatever lead weights I need, whatever jigs I need. I guess I've drank the Kool-Aid, the Amazon Kool-Aid. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And this will be an important newsletter this week, as I kind of wrote an abbreviated one last week. And we've had a lot of earnings reports that have come in since then over the last couple of weeks, a lot of ones. In fact, some really big companies, important companies reporting earnings. And so I will have updates. Like I say, the market is looking ahead to 2027 right now. It's already priced in next year, believe it or not. And it's going to take its cue from the earnings estimates for 2027 for the S&P 500. And, of course, it's a dynamic number, but it's been stuck in the same zone for quite some time. I thought the tariffs were supposed to take a big chunk, a big bite out of EBITDA, otherwise known as earnings. No, it has not happened. Earnings estimates have actually gone up since the big tariff scare back in February and March of this year. So we're looking at that, and the companies have done better than expected. Most of them, you know, the vast majority, 83%, have come in with stronger than expected earnings. Now, that middle part, the multiple, which is stretched about as far as it will go over the last 5 years and even going back to the year 2000, we're in a definite red flag zone with valuation. But you've got to look ahead to 2027 earnings and look at the valuation and the forward PE using those numbers, believe it or not. So I will have an important update there. I'll have a fresh 5-year target price that I, you know, update every week. My target price has been rising, you know, along with the earnings, obviously. And a little bit of a stretch in the multiple. The biggest risk we have right now in the short term, I think, is the Fed not coming through with the rate cut next week. It seems unlikely at this point, but I don't know. Jerome Powell has done some weird things in the past, and I wouldn't put it past him to convince the rest of the panel that inflation's still a problem. We've got this inflation monster out there rearing its ugly head. But after today's inflation report, it's going to be a very soft report. It's going to be pretty hard for him to convince. And then, of course, I put in the stories, the top stories from this past week, a recap of with the symbols of the stocks and everything that I pull from, you know, the news that I gather every morning for the show. A lot of interesting
collection of your weekly research, really.
Yes.
I mean, that's really what it is.
It's better than Barron's is what I say. I never got a winner out of Barron's, but, you know, I had a bird at that time, and I could line my bird cage with it, and the bird could use the Barron's. Which, I don't know, does Barron's, I'm sure Barron's is still around, but they used to produce every Saturday morning. I'd drive over to the 7-Eleven and get a Barron's. It was like 50 pages newsprint. And I used to read the newsprint version of the Investor's Business Daily. One of my favorite reads was in reading the Investor's Business Daily back in the 90s and early 2000s. Okay, then we still have a little bit of news, but this will be an important newsletter. You can get 4 free weeks. That's the most generous offer out. Barron's will give you one issue. And after one issue, it's like, yeah, you know what? I don't need this, talking about these dinosaur stocks.
I don't know how much. I wonder how much Barron's is at the store nowadays. I know we paid, I think I bought a paper for Black Friday to have some of the Black Friday stuff that wasn't in it anyway. It was $4 for a newspaper.
Really? I didn't even know you could buy a newspaper anymore.
I went to five different, I was tasked to go find the, you know, find the newspaper on Wednesday or Thursday of Thanksgiving for, you know, for, that has some of the sales for the, you know, for the women in my life that wanted to look through that at the house, and went to five gas stations.
Wow.
Last one, $4.
Wow, like, that's unbelievable. No, I used to read the New York Times from time back when it was a newspaper and not a just kind of a slanted type of periodical that comes out daily. But anyways, you miss the old days. There's a lot of things I miss about the old days. There's a lot of things I don't, because now we have improved. We have so much information at our fingertips now. It's unbelievable. And that has created a giant do-it-yourself industry, do-it-yourself investor class.
Yeah.
And that's, I do my best to, bring that information to people who like to do it themselves. Usually what happens is they find out, man, this is a lot of work. You got to be on this, daily, looking at this stuff and that and, whatnot. And I compare it to the fishing guides out there in our area who are on the water every single day. They know so much more than I do. I have very little chance of finding that school of redfish and where they're at right now and what they're feeding on and where they're crashing bait and things like that, because they're on the water every single day. All right, now, to get 4 free weeks of the newsletter and access to the powerful Best Stocks Now app, which I use 100%, other than, you know, I find stories on companies, but I then go to the app and run it, look at the app and see what the app has to say about it. That's critical for me. And I have found a few here recently that I actually moved into and bought. There's going to be some new buys there in the newsletter this week. You know, first it showed up, the chart. I go, wow, what's going on here? And I went and looked at, did a little bit of more granular work and said, you know, my growth rate's too low on this stock. I need to up the growth rate a little. The consensus is too low. And then that changes the target price. It gets calculated, and all of a sudden that target price is in my range of 80% or more. And I go, wow, I'm getting in this stock as fast as I possibly can. I did that with several here this past week. To get 4 free weeks, go to Gunderson Capital. .com. You know, and this is a time, it's not too early to start making New Year's resolutions, and we get portfolios from other firms. They're just, I don't know, they're horrible. They're in massive ETFs that just track this or track that. The ETF owns about 127 stocks, and only 3 or 4 of them are any good. Why would you own? I don't know. That's just me, okay? Or they just own these big, massive asset allocations with exposure to so many things. It's designed for mediocre returns. That's the one thing you can count on from a giant asset allocation is mediocrity. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.